On Monday, the 25th of September 2023, at the Grimaldi Building, the RNIB's London office, many blind and partially sighted people had the opportunity to test some new ways of accessible voting. Joining me now here on RNIB Connect Radio is Ken Reid, a longtime volunteer for the RNIB, who you may have heard, Ken, in one of our recent 20th anniversary roundtable discussions, all about accessible technology, where Ken did mention accessible voting too. Hello, Ken, and welcome back to RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, Toby. Delighted to be with you.
Firstly, Ken, would you be able to tell me about the types of accessible voting systems that you were testing at the Grimaldi Building on Monday?
Yeah, thanks, Toby. There were four different possible solutions were being put forward. The first one is very similar to that which many people will be familiar with the tactile voting device stuck onto the ballot paper with the, what I always refer to as advent calendar windows, that you flip back and you put your cross under the window. So that was as we recognise it. In support of that, there was an audio device. I think it's called an RNIB Accord. It's a very basic talking book player. And there was a memory stick in that. And that had an audio version of the ballot paper on it. So the candidates' names and addresses and parties were read out. So you knew what was on the paper. And then you could transfer that knowledge to the ballot paper and put a mark in the box. That was the first one. The second one was a thing called a McGonagall device. I don't know where they got the name from. And that's an overlay on top of the ballot paper. It's got built-in audio, and you can plug headphones into it, and you can press one button to play the whole lot, and then each of the voting boxes, the candidates, has a button, and you press that button, you hear the candidate's name and party details. And then there's a flap similar, but it's hard plastic this time, and it's got no tactile identifiers on it. And so you just get the audio, and then you can lift the appropriate flap and put the mark in underneath that. The third one, we used the Seeing Eye app to read the ballot paper, and then using the information that came from that, there was just a cardboard overlay on top of the ballot paper with boxes through which we could put our crosses into the voting boxes. And the fourth one wasn't a full test, it was only in part. And the important part of that test was that there was a QR code provided, and it wouldn't have to be on the ballot paper. I think it would just be provided on a sheet of paper. And by scanning that QR code with your mobile phone, it would then read the contents of the ballot paper. And then presumably, if we were to actually place a vote, it would be using something like the third choice or possibly the first choice, TBD, to place a vote in the appropriate box. So different ways of learning who your candidates are, different ways of finding the spaces on the ballot paper to vote. So a number of variations in there.
And when you were doing the testing, which accessible voting system did you find easier and more user-friendly as a blind person, and why?
Well, I still prefer the time-honoured system, the TVD. And I have to acknowledge that one of the reasons for that is it's familiar. There were drawbacks with each of the others. The McGonagall device is very bulky, and it so happens I'm left-handed. And it's designed for right-handers, so all of the bulk and the governance of the device is on the left-hand side of the ballot paper, which is where my hand goes when I'm trying to approach the box. So I didn't like that, mainly for that reason. I think if you're right-handed, it would be fine. That wouldn't be an issue. The cardboard overlay had no tactile on it, so that wasn't going to be an adequate solution. But that went with Seeing Eye. And Seeing Eye as a methodology for reading the ballot paper, I thought was fine. I was happy with that. I use Seeing Eye quite a bit. I'm familiar with it. So, yeah, it was the voting that was the difficult bit, not getting the candidate information. Oh, the McGonagall, the audio is not that precise, not that... it doesn't happen every time you press the button. So probably it means it's not great technology. And then the QR, I rarely use QR codes, and I'm not really familiar with that technology. I know of it, but I don't know how to use it. I actually needed assistance in order to scan the QR code. I just really hardly ever come across them. So not too keen on that one. So yeah, so I would go back to the original TVD. I think the audio introduction is great. I think that's a really positive improvement on that.
And I suppose the most important question is actually making your mark, isn't it? I mean, it's all very good having the information in an accessible format and having it read out and scanning and using CNAI, as we all do for reading documents and stuff, but making your mark, is there something that you think could be done to improve that part of the voting system?
I think education, particularly for the polling station staff, to make sure they know how to place the TVD. And I've been using the TVD for 20 years, and I have had a number of issues through those years of staff just not knowing how to place it. And it's been around that long, yet still staff who are on duty, they may only see one blind person in any one polling station in any one day. So it is important that they learn beforehand how to do it properly. If they've got the TVD positioned properly, and the same would apply for any other assistive technique, is making sure that they position the device, the document, correctly. So if we can do it with the TVD, we can do it with anything else. So getting that right is the most important thing. I think it's helpful for blind and partially sighted people to be informed themselves about what is required of them and how to utilise the equipment that's being provided. It always makes it easier if we know what we're going to be doing. But it shouldn't actually be our job to be informed. It should be the staff's job, and they should keep us right.
Why do you think it's so important for us all as blind and partially sighted people to be able to vote independently in an accessible way?
Well, much of what we depend on as blind and partially sighted people is delivered through our politicians, through our parliaments, our local authorities, and if we want to get the best service and we get what we believe we ought to be receiving, then we have to have a say in that. We have to have the right to say who will make those decisions on our behalf. So that is really important as blind and partially sighted people, that we have to be able to make that choice. But we're citizens in every other respect of our lives, and we want to have a say as to how the country will be run beyond just aspects relating to people with sight loss, in everything, in terms of how the economy is run, how the health service is run, how the country is policed, and how education is delivered. It's just everything that governments deliver is debated by parliament and other elected authorities, and then it impacts on us on a day-to-day basis, and we have a right to have a say as to how that should be done.
The Electoral Commission are going to be taking back all the feedback from the testing that you and other blind and partially sighted people did on Monday to ensure that the voting system is accessible and as user-friendly as it can be for us all. I mean, what would you like the Electoral Commission to do to make the experience more accessible and user-friendly for us?
There's a few messages I would give them. The first one is make sure that the staff who are doing the work are properly trained. And we are very happy as blind and partially sighted people. There are many of us who can assist in that training. And I have done that in the past, and I would be more than happy to do that in the future so that they can actually deliver it properly. So that's an important message, is really get the staff up to scratch so that whatever solution is chosen, they should make sure the staff can deliver it. They should communicate effectively out from the electoral authorities to voters to make sure we all know what is available for us. It shouldn't be a guessing game. It shouldn't be a postcode lottery. It should be available to everybody. But the other thing I would actually encourage them to do, not just on the back of this particular test, but over the longer term, is go back to square one. Taking a piece of paper and sticking it across in a box was a voting system that was developed in the 19th century when the majority of the population was illiterate. We couldn't read or write candidate names. We couldn't read or write our own name. We couldn't put anything other than a cross in a box. It's an archaic system. We really should take a grassroots look at voting and see, is there a better way to vote? Now, that may or may not involve technology. It may involve voting from home. I love voting. I love going to the polling station and putting my cross in the box and taking part in that theatre. But I would encourage a really radical reconsideration of voting and how we go about it from the bottom up. and say, what's the best solution in the 21st century? Is it still a 19th century solution, or is there something better?
Well, hopefully we'll see some improvements in the future, and hopefully the next time we all go and vote as visually impaired people, the experience will be a little bit more accessible and a little bit more user-friendly too. Well, thank you very much indeed, Ken, for joining me again here on RNIB Connect Radio and telling me more about the RNIB Accessible Voting event.
Thanks, Toby. It's been a pleasure again.